Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servants who trust in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord. For I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations that you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of the one who can destroy both. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
I want you to think, that is a really dense passage. It's like full of stuff. And I'm picking it. I promise you, I'm not going to unpick the whole of that gospel in this talk, because you will all be like, this lunch is coming at some point. But as you heard it or read it, was there one bit of it that stood out for you? Just turn to someone, either in the pew in front of you or behind or next to you. And I just want you to just say what that was that stood out for you. Okay, let's come back. I do have a sermon prepared. This isn't Chris trying to get out of having to preach today. even though it is Father's Day. I thought I'd get the day off, but no. It's not what happens. I'm gonna guess at something, and that's all right. But my guess is, when you heard that passage, one of the things that has a negative connotation is the thing that stuck out. It's just a guess. You don't have to say it yet, but thank you very much. I would like us to get more Pentecostal, but that's fine. Yes, it may be the thing that stuck out. Hopefully, some of us might be, you know, all sunshine and roses, and something that was really positive in your mind stuck out. Maybe not. But my guess is that something negative stuck out. So let's unpack that slightly. And as I say, I know some of what I'm going to say might pull up some things for people. I'm more than happy if you want to contact me in the week and you want to just talk or pray together, I'm more than happy to do that. I'm going to try and be as sensitive as I can in what I say. But obviously, I'm going to be fallible. I'm not going to hit everything in just the right way. And I just acknowledge that, but I'm willing to do the work with that afterwards as well. So please accept what I have to say and use your discernment with it. When I was a kid, my mum used to say, "I'm going to tell your dad, or wait till your father gets home." That was a way of scaring me into behaving. And my dad didn't used to get home till 9 p.m. because he worked in the car park in Guy's Hospital, the NCP car park there, and he worked from four, he'd normally leave 4 in the morning back at 9 p.m. So obviously I was in bed by the time he came back, or a good ploy of getting me to go to bed, especially as I was a full-on child, I'm sure, and my mum had to deal with all sorts of things in my mind being racy and my ADHD and all that sort of stuff. It took me ages to realize that that's what had been going on. And it was funny because I can't remember an occasion when my dad ever shouted at me. He's not that kind of guy. He's really quiet, actually. He's quite an introvert and doesn't really get excited about anything. Anything, birthdays, nothing. He's just a quiet guy. And it was through, as I got older, having a relationship with him where we would cook together on a Sunday for the Sunday meal, which we had, or a Saturday morning, we'd always cook together, make a big fry-up for the family, go to Deptford Market, get the produce, and then cook it on Sunday for us to have curry and rice and fried fish and all the things that gave me the chance to learn about my culture through that cooking with my dad. That's when I got to learn to have a relationship with him that wasn't based in this fear of him coming home and shouting at me. In our gospel, we have a really dense scripture, as I said at the beginning. And I could have pulled out any bit of this, these verses. But also, they're pulled out of a wider discourse. I don't know if you noticed, but at one point it says, "Don't be afraid of these people or things or whatever it is," and it's not got the context in it there. So we've got to go and find that. And you might have to read the whole of Matthew to get that whole context. Again, I'm not going to explore all of this here. But what I think the narrative, the overall part of this scripture is trying to say is there are things that we have held on to, the old ways, of understanding God the Father, that have these issues of wrath and destruction and of pain. And I think what Jesus is trying to say is, I'm questioning that, I'm changing that, I'm pulling that apart. I've come to set, and I say it every time I preach on these verses, they're setting the elders, those three groups of people who are set against each other, the elders who hold the traditions against the younger ones who are coming through. Jesus says, I come to set father against son, mother against child, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I don't think that means throw everything out from our traditions, but it does call us to question a relationship with God that is based on wait till God the Father gets home. We're called to question that sense of, I will do good because there is something more powerful than me that will make me do good. That's always been a problem. In psychology, you have this thing of proximity that makes you behave well. And as soon as the thing that's making you behave well goes away, you change your behavior. Anyone who's worked in school will know that. Anyone who's worked with children in any way, or even if you work in an office with adults and there is a manager who is a dictator, when they're off, it all goes, right? People are off, we're drinking in the office, it's all gone, because proximity to power is what's making you behave. Jesus is questioning this. It's not about being afraid. It's not. It's about that relationship with a God in the psalm that we heard, an evoking of someone who cares and wants to protect and be with. And Jesus says it in the middle of the gospel. You might not have heard it if you were only hearing the other bits. There's a little, what we call a turning point in the middle of the gospel, where Jesus says that God cares and protects. So I offer you that for all the things you heard when the gospel was read. Now I want you to, not now, but I'm giving you a homework. Read that passage again. Look for where that changing point is in the middle of the passage and see which thing stands out for you after. So for me, what we take home, not just that, go and read the Bible, because obviously I'm going to say that. You're expecting that of a priest. My take home actually is this. I get a little image of God, the Father, from my dad, from those relationships we had while we were cooking, from those times we have together now. I'm very lucky, and I know I was one of the only guys on the estate I grew up with who actually had a dad in the house. And I realized, even before I became a father myself, that actually I had a responsibility to father in my community. That's why I became a youth worker. But I realized there were many relationships in my life where I'd been given a glimpse of the picture that Jesus is asking us to remember of God the Father. And it came in the face of people who invested time in me in a way that showed who God the Father is. I'm going to name some people. I'm going to name my uncle Elvis, who's my mum's brother. Even to this day, he, who has never had children, invests in me. There was a guy called Lee at my church when I came back in my 20s after falling out of faith, who invested in me, taught me to sing, got me involved in a gospel group, and would sit in his car giving me, as we talked at the end of our music practices, and share about his life and build me. Lee unfortunately died about 10, 15 years ago, and he was an amazing man of God. And there have been many women as well who have shown me unbelievable grace and have shown me a picture of God the Father. I want to talk about a head teacher I had called Laura, who, when I was probably the worst of I could have been in terms of my skill level as a practitioner, actually just spent time teaching me what to do. Sorry. And there's so many more, who show me who God the Father really is, so that I don't have to stick with this scared view of a God who only comes in as a punitive measure, and I can then live out my life not because of the proximity to power and the worry of getting chastised, but out of a real sense of joy that I invest in and am with others. So, as always, I apologize for crying. Don't know why I'm crying. I just do. Because I'm emotional and I'm human and I love it. But that's the real message in my talk today. Remember, everyone is made in the image of God. And when you glimpse on them, you get a picture of divinity. You get a picture of who God is. But each one of us is fallible, so you only get a little glimpse from each one of us. And that's why community is the only way. That's why people and being with them in all their problems is really the only way to understand the God who is there to love us, protect us, calmly stand in the way of those that try to hurt us, and also who picks us up when we do get hurt. So happy Father's Day.